If you brought your Bibles tonight, turn with me one more time to the book of Job, but this time let's go to the end of the book of Job instead of the beginning. Job chapter 42. I'll be honest with you, I wanted to kind of finish up my thoughts here on Job, and I'll get into it more maybe here in just a little bit, but on some of this I feel like I got more questions than answers. But let's go ahead and read our text tonight. Let's start in verse 1 of chapter 42, and let's read the first 10 verses, and then we'll go to the Lord together in a word of prayer. Job chapter 42, beginning at verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that thou and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Elphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Elphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamahite, went and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly come before you one more time here tonight, thanking you for the good day and for the many blessings. Thanking you for the opportunity you've given us to gather here tonight and to fellowship together and to worship you together, and just for the many blessings that you poured out on us. But we thank you most of all tonight for your Son, Jesus. Lord God, that you sent him and that you give him so that we might have life and have that life eternally and abundantly. God, my prayer tonight is that you would just, that you would be pleased with everything that has been done and said, and the rest that will be said here tonight and done. I pray that you've been glorified in everything. I pray that your will is done here tonight. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would touch each and every one who's made the effort to come out here tonight to worship you in spirit and truth. And so, Lord, asking these things of him, it doesn't feel right, given what you've already done for us, to even ask any more of you. But you tell us to cast our cares upon you. And so here we are, Lord. Here we are. We've come before you to worship, but yet here we've come with our hands full of needs.
And Lord, so you know our hearts. You know each one that is here. You know every need, those that need to be comforted, those that need to be lifted up, just drawn closer to you, those that need a touch from you, maybe those that have drifted away, whatever it is, God. We just ask, Lord, that you would just have your way and your will. And I pray, Lord, for me as well tonight. I need your help. Clear my mind of everything but your message, your thoughts, your words. Place on my tongue the very things that you'd have me to say here tonight. Anoint me from on high. God, my heart's desire is to be your messenger tonight, to deliver your message the way you'd have me to deliver it. So I'm asking for your unction, your anointing, and I'll be sure and give you every bit of the glory for it. Lord, one more time, Lord, I just ask for your will to be done here tonight. And we'll be sure and give you every bit of the glory for it. We ask it all in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. As I kind of conclude my thoughts on the book of Job, I was talking, Sister Gail and Robin come in and was asked me a question about Job's wife, and I'd already been thinking about, you know, that really, especially the end of Job here, I'm left with more questions than answers. I got one point left that I need to get at, and I'll get at it here in just a minute. But as I go through this, you know, because in Job, you've got the back and forth with Job and his friends, and then you got the youngest, Elihu, that comes in there at the end. And in the things that he says is probably more right and more true than the other guys, but there's still some things that is off there as well. And so, you know, you look at all of this, and then, okay, so then you've got that up through, what, about chapter 37? And then God's response, and then God steps in, right? It speaks out of the whirlwind. The Lord speaks, and he starts with this whole line of questions. Answer this, Job, you know, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world, right? And, you know, he really goes through these things, right? And it's to, I mean, it's right to that it sets Job in his place and Job's friends in their place too. But I don't think that I don't think it's the picture of, you know, grabbing Job and say, hey, now listen here, buddy. You know, I don't think it's to put him in that place like that. But yet at the same time, the result of it is, you know, how great and mighty and big God is and how small that we are in comparison. How small Job is. Insignificant. Right, greatest man in the East, but yet so insignificant in contrast, in comparison to God. You know, in some of the things that is interesting, let me just read a couple more verses here. Let me read verse 11, 12, and 13 to you, all right? Verse 11 says, "Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep." Remember, he'd started with 7,000. Now God blesses him with 14,000 and 6,000 camels, right? He started with 3,000, now 6,000. And 1,000 yoke of oxen, right? He went from 500 before all this happened, 1,000 now. And 1,000 she-asses, 1,000 donkeys. He had 500 before. Verse 13, he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then it goes on in verse 14 and it mentions the name of
his three daughters, right? And it called the name of the first, right? In verse 14, and it goes through in the second and the third. And then verse 15, in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his daughters. Saw his sons and his sons' sons even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. You know, so God, here God blesses Job, gives him twice of everything that he had before, right? All of his holdings and his livestock and everything, double of what he had before. And so it talks about that, sums that up. He has a whole nother family, but yet there's still, you know, questions that are unanswered. And as I talked about this morning, you know, the intention of the book of Job, I don't know, is to answer, you know, necessarily our questions, but it gives us some insight into the spiritual realm, into how God operates. And so anyways, because you think about all this that was going on, one of the things is Job never does know why any of this happened. He never knows. The scene that we see that took place in the spiritual realm, Job never sees. Job never knows, okay? And as you look at this, and you look through the part that I read, right, God rebukes, I never can say his names, their names, right, but Job's friends, it starts with Eliphaz, or however you say his name, the Temanite, right, starts with him and his other two friends, right, but there's no mention to Elihu. Elihu mysteriously comes in, and he mysteriously comes out. And it wasn't that Elihu was perfect and godly and everything that he said was right. I don't know that he was as far off as the other guys, but he's not even mentioned. The thing that Gail asked me, that, and I thought about that, was Job's wife is not mentioned anymore either. I mean, he has 10 more kids, so there's a wife there. There has to be. Is it the same one? Or is it a different one? I don't know. It's not mentioned there. The Jewish tradition, I was looking for an answer to that. See even what speculation was. And the Jewish tradition is that actually Job's wife is, somebody correct me on pronunciation. My pronunciation of names are terrible. Dina? How do you say it? D-I-N-A-H or whatever. Jacob and Leah's daughter. Dinah, okay. That's who the Jews in their tradition, they think was Job's wife, was Dinah. But the Bible doesn't say that, so we don't know that. They've got a lot of traditions and beliefs that are outside of the actual scriptures. But that would be interesting if it was. It's the right time period. But anyways, but we really know nothing outside of the one scene back there in what, chapter 2? We really don't know anything about Job's wife. And of course, this is a day and a time when the practice of having more than one wife was pretty common, and so we just don't know. When we go through and we talk about all of this and what Job has been through, I can't help but think about, I want to read a passage to you from, I was thinking also Donna's song that she sung, you know, the one line, I don't know if the song is intentionally quoting Job or not, but where it talks about come through as gold, you know, that reminds, Job says that, Job is you know, even in his low points, he's confident, right? He's got his trust and faith in the Lord. And so, you know, as we look at all of this, and we look at how Satan had tried to absolutely crush Job and yet utterly failed. You know, another one of those things that is interesting that a person has to kind of pray about and think about is it says in verse 6, Job is talking, he says, I abhor myself, I hate myself, and repent in dust and ashes.
Well, it's interesting because Job's friends had, that's what they've been trying to get Job to do all the way through, was they'd been trying to get him to repent of some mysteriously covered up sin that God had already said wasn't there. And so the question is, what is Job repenting over? Well, I think what he's repenting over is having is ever questioning God through all of this. Because he goes through, he goes through his ups and downs and where is God in all of this, right? And then that's when, of course, God comes in there at the end. So, as we look at this, I'd said that there was one more point that needed to be made before I finish up with Job here. Is I had pointed out last week and this morning that the things that Satan had encountered, and I kept asking you the question, if you were in this scenario, how would you handle it? What would Satan find, right, are you going to give him a foothold? Are you going to give him a place to get in? Or is he going to find a hedge that, a fence that can't be penetrated? And then I asked you the question, that with Job, Satan was positive. That if enough pressure could be put on Job, that Job's heart would turn, that he would turn away from God. But it never did. Never was. Job lost everything and still worshiped God. And I asked you that if you lost everything, would you still be able to worship God? And then, right, if you think about how everything has come to bear, right? Job has lost it all. He's lost his livelihood, all of his children, his health, right? And then his friends show up just to accuse him. But yet, his hope still can't be completely crushed. And then the last thing, and this is the thing that's, probably everybody knows about the end of the Job, is that when things turned for Job when he prayed for his friends. And God blesses Job. So the last thing that Satan finds there is a blessing that he could not stop, right? God had intended on blessing Job, and there wasn't anything Satan could do about it. Nothing that he could do to stop what God was going to do. And I've been trying to drive that point home here. One of the things that we learn from the book of Job, right, is how God operates and how all of this works here and how he interacted with Job. And the idea that Satan has, and if we're not careful, the idea that we have is that it's a contract, right? That it's an exchange. You do this and God will reward you in this way. But that's not the case at all. And I'd ask the question, what if Job had not even, received all of these things? What if you lost everything but still didn't? Would you still have your trust in the Lord? Would you still be able to worship God? Or would you actually do what Satan said that Job would do and what Job's wife tried to get him to do, which was to turn and curse God? But let's look at what happened here again. The Lord restored Job twofold. Give him twice as much as he had before, right? The scripture, read the scripture, 14,000 head of sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys, and 10 more children. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but all the animals is twice as many. But the kids are the same number. Well, it's not that God doesn't know how to count. It's that and you might well think, well, if you go through the way he done everything else, shouldn't it be like 14 sons and 6 daughters afterwards? Well, I'll tell you what. The first 10 they weren't lost to him, not forever. Job knew that one day he would see them again. So one day, when there's that glad reunion, right? When the last of Job's second group of kids went to be with the Lord, and they had their meeting, their reunion, there was 6 daughters and 14 sons. And so, and it's amazing through all of this that Job knew that. Job recognized that. I mean, Satan really did not expect for things to go this way. He did not expect for Job to come through this trial righteous and restored. Whatever trials you might go through or might be going through, it is so important how you handle it. So important how you handle it. Not that we don't go through emotions, and not that we don't go through questions and doubts and where is God in all of this, and not that our thoughts, you know, are perfect through all of it, because, I mean, let's just be honest, they're not. And you go through Job's thoughts here, and they're not perfect at all through all of it, but that doesn't affect, Job still being righteous and upright in God's sight. The question is, where is your faith through it all? Where is your trust through it all? I've told, I don't know how many, I saw this and I learned this, and I can't put it in words, and I cannot emphasize it enough. I don't think I can even really express it right, but through the time that I spent as a chaplain, I sat with and seen and went through more people as they went through the death process than I ever dreamed in my life that I would. Both Christians and non-Christians. Listen to me. How you die, how you leave this world, oh, it matters a lot. It matters a lot. Not only your faith in the Lord, and so therefore the condition of your own soul and your eternal resting place, yes, of course, that's of utmost importance. But not only the last witness and testimony that you will leave with those that you care the most about, but I promise you it will be the most lasting witness and testimony. As you go through that last trial, will you come through it as like gold? Will you come through it like Job did? I promise you, those that you care the most about, those that maybe you've been trying to reach for a long, long time, they will see and they will take notice. I always say, and I hope nobody misunderstands me or takes me wrong, but I have said this for years now, Christian, die well. Die well. Nobody wants to die. God has given us this natural instinct to live. He's got things for us to do while we're here. But when it is time to go, and all of us will come to that point, do it well. Do it well. Look back at Job. Maybe you can take some encouragement there with realizing, because we're always left with questions of why. You know, Job had to have all kinds of questions. Why there were so many things that he didn't see, that he didn't know that had happened and taken place. I won't mention a name because this is being recorded, but there's a certain preacher that was very sick and seemed that he was going to die what everybody would consider prematurely. It seemed like he'd been doing a great ministry for the Lord. And I'd heard several people
ask the question, why? Why, Lord, take him now? Why not heal him, give him a good, long, full life, because it seems like he's really got quite a ministry that you're using him for. And one day, and I'd ask myself the same question, why? And the Lord just brought it to my mind. What if I could reach more through his death than through his life? God sees so much and knows so much that it just beyond what we can see. And so I want to ask you the question here, right? We see how it turned out for Job. And we see how blessed Job was. But don't let that be the lesson from the book of Job. Don't let it be the lesson that if you just hang in there long enough that you'll get twice as much stuff as what you had before, because you're not any different than Job's friends. If that's the lesson that you get from it, actually we need to ask ourselves the question, what if? What if God had not restored to Job everything that he had lost? I think it's obvious from the book how Job would have handled that. How would you handle it? What if God had not restored to Job everything he lost? Would that make you less likely to keep the faith and serve God? Even in the bad times? Listen to me, it shouldn't. You see, our complete restoration in this life is not guaranteed. But trust me, it will happen. But it's not necessarily guaranteed to happen in this life. God loves us, and God is just. So you got to understand that, know that, believe that, accept that by faith, and stand on that no matter what. That God loves us and God is just. And know that He will not only restore whatever we have lost unjustly, but He will also give us so much more than what we could possibly even imagine when we keep our trust and our faith in Him and we live with Him, right? He will bless us beyond measure when we live with Him in all of eternity. Just keep your faith. Keep your faith through it all. And you'll absolutely, look, you absolutely will be rewarded of the Lord. And it could be just like Job, it could be in this life now. But then again, it may be in the life to come. In Luke chapter 18, verse 29, it says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you," right? Jesus is speaking to the disciples here. "There is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting." So, think about it. Satan was allowed into Job's life and into Job's home. But Satan found some things there. He found some things out about Job that he didn't expect to find. I mean, God, so to speak, handed Job over to Satan for a season. But after it was all over with, Job's the one that got the blessing. And if it had not been in this life, it would have been in the one to come.
And again, do not miss the reason Job got blessed. He got blessed because he never stopped loving and trusting the Lord. You know what? Too many people give up on God when they go through troubles and trials. Too many when things get rough, they give up on the Lord. And they never receive the blessings. That's why. That is why. That's the only reason they don't see the blessings, whether it's in this life or in the life to come. It's because they don't hang in there, because they give up on Him. So, how about you? If you lost all that Job lost, would you still have a heart for God? If you lost everything that Job lost, would you still have a hope in the Lord that would allow you to receive that God's blessings, the blessings that God has for you? How about it? I was thinking, and I think I remember where it is. I think I can turn right here to it. If not, I can sort of quote it. One last scripture I wanted to leave you with. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now the Spirit has revealed, shown us a few things by the Spirit. We get too hung up on the blessings and the cursings of this world. We do. I mean, that's all through Job. You see that contrast back and forth, blessings and cursings. But it's not all about this world. It's not all about this life. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you might go through some rough things. I don't want to stand here and, you know, pretend like, oh, if you get saved, it's all rosy. Or if you have enough faith, you'll never go through anything. I'd be lying to you if I told you that. What I can guarantee you is if you'll hang in there with God, He'll bless you. That's what I can promise you. I can't promise you that you won't get an illness, some disease. I can't promise you that it might not be painful. It might not be costly. I can't promise you any of those things. I can't promise you that you might not lose a child or a grandchild or whatever the case may be. Cannot promise you that. No matter how much you love the Lord and no matter how much faith that you have. Mentioned the young man on our prayer list that's 22 with brain cancer. Man, there's those things that just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. But we see through a glass darkly. What I can promise you is if you'll hang in there with God, if you'll trust in the Lord, right? It'll all be all right. It'll all be good. I mean, what's the worst that might happen? You might die and go to heaven. I don't know. I don't know how to end this. Will you stand to your feet? I want to open the altar. I want to give you an opportunity to come and pray tonight. Spirit of God dealing with you, you just come right on. I felt like at the end of this, I've had as many questions or more questions than answers. But that's kind of how Job, the book of Job is. Maybe that kind of puts us in the same position Job was in. Because I'll guarantee he walked away with more questions than answers. But here's the one thing. Just hang in there with God. Just hang in there with the Lord. Just trust in Him no matter what. He loves you. He's not left you. He'll never forsake you. Just hang in there with Him. If you've got a need, if you've got a burden, you just come on. Somebody that on your heart you've been praying for or you know you need to be praying for, well, come on and pray for them. Whatever it is, don't you miss this opportunity. You just come on.